meet the Met. Step right up and greet the Met. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Because the Met are really socking the ball. Knocking those home runs over the wall. These five west side. Everybody coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Met of New York town. Oh, the butcher and the baker and the people on the street. Where do they go? To meet the Met. Oh, they're hollering and cheering and they're jumping in their seats. Where do they go?
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Of course, you are meeting the Met. Tonight is a special night here on NDB Media 2, Sports Talk with the Guys. Tonight is the Five Tool Show. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, I'm your host, Roger the Scorekeeper Noriega, and I'm thrilled to announce that we will have, at the minimum, two co-hosts along with me today. I've got to tell you, we are covering for Tanya Mercado and Carell Cooper. For those of you that know and don't know, Tanya is not well. If you follow up on her Facebook page, you'll notice some details of what's going on. She may be joining us shortly, but we'll see. I don't know if she's out of the emergency room yet or not. She said she may call in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm leaving that up to her. I'm not forcing her in any way whatsoever. Didn't even apply for her to join us. But, hey, I put out a call, and sure enough, two of the hosts here on in the NDB Media family are joining me. And, of course, I want to go out east to the man. First one to call me, of course, Brian Tarvin himself. Tarvino, how are you, pal? What's going on?
I'm doing good, Roger. Glad to be able to join you tonight, special Tuesday night. So just glad to be here. Hope all's well with you.
I'm doing very well. Thanks, Brian, for joining us. And, of course, my right hand, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, you know I am right-handed. He is, of course, the big dog. Peter, the big dog Gama. How are you doing there, big dog?
I'm doing just fine. I didn't press one, but that's okay. How's it going?
Oh, that's right. You didn't press one. Well, nor did Brian, so okay. I brought you guys in.
So how are you doing?
You know what? It is what it is. I'm concerned. I got the message from Tanya, and good old Tanya says, Ron, I'm in the emergency room. I might only be able to do half of the program. Are you kidding me? I'm like...
That's dedication, dedication.
Dedication indeed. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. So she may be joining us in a bit. I'm going to be watching the queue to see if she is able to. I'm not expecting her, but wow. I don't want to announce exactly what is going on. But it's all over her Facebook. I just don't know if it's appropriate for me to announce it. Other than her being in the emergency room, our thoughts and prayers are with her and, of course, in her family. Look, you know, going to the doctor for a shot is one thing. Actually, going over to a friend to buy you some drugs is one other thing. But when you go into the emergency room, ladies and gentlemen, it is a serious matter. So we are thinking of you, Tanya, and we are hoping that you get out of there quick, unless the doctor's cute. You know, that's up to you, Tanya. You know, if he's cute, you know what, hey, whatever. And or if she's female, don't know, don't care, whatever, Tanya. But, hey, we are going to be talking a lot of sports. We're going to be covering them all. We're going to be talking some baseball, quite a bit of it from the Mets field. And in general, we're going to be talking some football, probably even get some college. We might even get some Lakers in there, because even though this is the Five Tool Show, it has been hijacked. So we're going to take it. I want to head on over to the Big Dog, first and foremost. Big Dog, what's going on in Lakerland, pal?
Not a whole lot. Lakers are back to being at 500. There's a game tonight, about 40 minutes. Kobe Bryant is a game-time decision. He is suffering from flu-like symptoms, so we'll just wait and see on that one.
All right. I hear you. Well, we're going to see what's going to happen with that. I appreciate that, Big Dog. And, of course, joining the conversation and everything, because we have a lot of baseball stuff to go over. But I want to get some college in. Ryan, wow, we were talking about this, but what happened with Auburn, dude? I mean, what do you call that? Do you call that a good old-fashioned butt-whipping? Do you call it a shellacking? Do you call it a blowout? Or do you call it dad being pissed with his son and saying, it's not going to happen, dude? So what do you call it, Brian?
All of the above.
I call it all of the above. I mean, it was probably any adjective that describes terrible, just horrible. The worst game I've ever seen Auburn play. But you know what? The thing is, I knew it was coming. And everybody that studies college football and sees it, they knew it was coming as well. This team quit early in the season. And you play 11 games bad. I mean, I never thought they would play the 12th one good. So it was expected.
It was expected, Brian. And you didn't mention that on air. I know that when you and I were talking about it, you had no bones about it. You were pretty clear. But I think what the biggest shock to me was, well, okay, tell all of our listeners. This is generally a baseball audience, and I think they need to know. Do you even want to mention the final score? I'm hoping you are.
49-0.
Ow. Ow. That hurt.
And you know, Alabama stopped playing midway through the third quarter. So, honestly, it could have been 84-0 if they'd have wanted it to be. So, 49-0. Not a good score, but, you know, I at least thought we'd kick a field goal maybe and, you know, get on the scoreboard.
And that's the disastrous thing. They couldn't even put up a point. Man, they couldn't even get a safety. But hold on. When you're scoring 49 points, they're not going to be in position to get a safety anyway. So I'm sorry. They should have gotten a field goal.
Well, I'll tell you, the first 7 drives resulted in touchdowns for Alabama. If that tells you anything.
Yeah, and that really was something, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to tell you, it was a blowout. I was shocked by it. But I know it's good. I know we're going to have quite a bit of other news to go over in a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. We do have quite a bit of Mets news, a lot of stuff going on in baseball. And as I asked my co-host, just guys, stay with me on this one. And we've got a lot of stuff we're going to go over. I got to tell you, of course, the Hall of Fame ballots are set to appear very, very soon, ladies and gentlemen. And that's something that we're going to talk about. But, ladies and gentlemen, heck, before I even get to – well, okay, hold on a minute. Nah, I need a moment. Oh, I don't have Xena the Warrior Princess or anything like that. I wish I did, but ladies and gentlemen, the star of this program, the princess of this program, and when I say princess, I'm talking about Leia. I'm talking about Padme, ladies and gentlemen. This is a woman that just beats everyone up. And I guess we're going to get an update as to how she's doing. We are very concerned, as we did mention. We don't know what the issue is. We're not going to announce it. But damn, she's in the house! How you doing, Tanya? What's going on?
Hey, Roger. I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. You sound, wow, you don't sound, I mean, you sound good. Don't get me wrong, but you don't sound well. What's going on, kiddo?
I'm still in the hospital. I've been here for like 4 hours. I have yet to see a doctor. It's just, like, just sitting here is like the death of me, especially with all this stuff that's going on right now. I'm ready to, like, scream. I'm like, of all days for me to be in a hospital, it's the one day that's going on in the world of baseball, at least with the Mets anyway.
Well, Tanya, you are live, so if you scream right now, there'll be proof that you did. You know what? This is how much I'm for you right now. As Brian, who's also live with me, and the Big Dog, who's also here too, they heard, Tanya, if the doctor's cute, I hope to God you're still there for a while. And I meant it in a good way, Tanya. But you haven't even seen the doctor. Which doctor are you at? We should call him right now. I'll go live and say, hey, our host is there right now. What's going on?
I'm just waiting because apparently they're not really sure what's going on. You know, they're saying that I might need an x-ray and all these other things because there might be a blood clot in my leg. So, yeah. And I wouldn't even be here if so many people didn't insist on me coming to the hospital. If I had it my way, I would have been home doing my show instead of in a hospital.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if Brian got that, but I think the big dog did. Wait a minute. If she had her way, she'd be doing her show. Well, wait a minute. You're here.
I think you know what I mean. I'd be in that chat room. I'd be all in. Everybody and their mother would know that I was around.
Well, as a matter of fact, we know that you're around right now, and I don't know how much you're filling up to it. Tell me, what are you going to do? Are you, like, hiding the phone under your arm so no one sees you, or are you just flat out showing it off that you're live and around the world? I got to know, Tanya. Are you showing it off?
Of course.
Ooh, you the bomb. I always knew it. You the bomb.
Well, you know what it is? It helps that in this hospital, I was born here, my sister was born here. They took care of my mom when she had a heart attack. They've taken care of me when I've had my issues, and the same thing with my sister. My dad has worked in this hospital. So there's a lot of history in this hospital for me and my family, so it's all good.
Well, then maybe we'll talk about the hospital in a little bit. We don't want to mention it now because you never know. There are a bunch of guys on the West Coast that are stupid stalkers, you know. You never know, Tanya. But I guess I'm gonna keep you on here for as long as you want to stay on with us, kiddo, and maybe we can talk some Met stuff. I gotta tell you, I felt a little filthy reading all this Met stuff, but hey, I feel like I'm a knowledgeable host for tonight's program.
Well, you know what? You're always knowledgeable. So when you told me you were going to do the show tonight, I had nothing but confidence in you. I knew that the show was in good hands.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Big Dog, now you know as much as I do, and I think Brian does too. Even though she hasn't seen a doctor, she is on drugs, right? There's no doubt about it. And she said, hey.
Definitely on drugs. Definitely.
Exactly. When she said that she had confidence in me, I was like, whatever. It's okay, Tanya. Now I know what I can say to you today and what I can get away with. So let me see. What do I really think of the Mets? I don't know. But before I go on over to Brian, I want to go over to the Big Dog. He has some information. I don't know if Tanya has this. But even though he has denied the news, and we're talking about the third baseman, David Wright, well, actually, he says the information is not accurate. Big Dog, can you tell us what the big news in Metsland is right now other than R.A. Dickey?
Well, there's actually two big news, though. So.
Yeah, Wright was offered a 7-year extension on his contract. There are varying reports as far as to how much it is, but it's supposed to be in the $135 to $140 million range. The question I was putting out there and Tanya put out there on Facebook was, is he worth the 7-year extension at that amount of money?
And that is the question right now, Tanya. I know you put it out there, and I'm sure you're going to be getting some answers. But, Brian, I'm not sure how familiar you are with David Wright, but this was an upcoming star with the Mets who has become a superstar. But now that he moved into the Citi Field, his power numbers have gone down considerably. His average is up. The guy still hits well. But the question is he worth, which what I have right here at sportingnews.com is actually 8 years for $135 million.
Okay, that's down crap. Sandy Alderson would not go 8 years.
Okay. So we are looking at 7 years. Brian, are you familiar with David Wright? Do you think it's worth it? Is it worth 17 more guaranteed years for this kid whose numbers have essentially dropped?
I think it is. I like David Wright. I think he's really, to me, the face of the Mets. So, you know, he was up and down, but his power numbers are down. But anytime you can hit for average, that's really what it's about. So I think he's worth the money. If anybody else on that team is, he is.
Before I ask Big Dog, Tanya, I know it's been, I mean, a significant drop. You've talked about it. But Brian's got a point. This kid hits, and this kid hits well. I look at the numbers, and I believe they may be a tad overpriced, but knowing how good this guy is with the glove, his average, and you never know, those numbers might actually come back. And looking at that, Tanya, I'd have to say the Mets are actually going to get a decent deal. Share it, sister.
I don't think any player is worth 7 years, $140 million. I think that's way overpriced for David Wright, especially for a guy who only hit, what, 3 or 4 more home runs, and the walls were blown in and lowered for players like him? I mean, come on. And everybody talks about how his defense isn't been all that great. You want to throw $140 million to him, and then Ari Dickey, you give him, like, what, 2-3 years, $23 million? Come on. With all that the Mets need help in right now, David Wright needs to lower his price. Okay? He's not worth that amount of money because, you know, in order for David Wright to do better, they need to get people, they need to get guys, and that's not going to happen.
Wow. All right. Hey, Big Dog, tell me about it. We're looking at a guy who played in 156 games. Remember, he had a down year last year because he only played in 102 games. But this year he hit .306. He had 21 home runs, 93 RBIs. Yeah, he struck out 112 times, but he walked it. He won. He stole 15 bases to boot, scored 91 runs. He had 286 total bases. His OPS, like, might as well be French to me, is .883. But his on-base was .391, and it was slugging was just short of .500, .492. Looking at those numbers, Big Dog, what's your opinion on it?
I mean, those are all great numbers, but I got to agree with my gal, Tanya, and that's too much money. He's 30 years old already. I think that's going to handcuff the Mets for too many years with that kind of money that they're going to be paying out. Maybe if they drop it down to a 4, maybe a 5-year contract, might be a little bit more acceptable, but the money that they're shelling out could be used to get other prospects to bring up guys from the farm system, get free agents, better the team. The team needs to get better. They can't just have, you know, David Wright and Ari Dickey and a bunch of nobodies because all the money is tied up. Unfortunately, the Mets, you know, are losing money, and they need to build the team back up. I think instead of spending all that money on one or two players, you maybe give them a little bit less. They take a little bit less, especially Wright. He knows, as you said, he's a superstar. He knows he can't do it himself. At least he should know he can't do it himself. He needs a surrounding cast to help him out. And if he takes a little bit less money for less years, that money that they save can be used for other free agents. And I think that's how you're going to build up the Mets.
Wow. Okay, fair enough. I want to jump over to R.A. Dickey, ladies and gentlemen. This comes from Adam Rubin of ESPN. This is a tweet that was on the 27th at 6:51 a.m. Dickey added that he would likely sit in on negotiations next week at meetings in Nashville. He acknowledged an offer and that a counteroffer has been made. Tanya, we're getting down and dirty on this. It looks like Dickey is close to signing with the Mets. It's a question of money. Asking you as a fan, are the Mets going to be better off with him? It's not an issue of money anymore. It's going to be an issue of, are they better off with him, or should it be where they try to sign him and trade him? You tell me, Tanya.
I think it depends on how long they're signing him for. If they're signing him for more than 3 years, then no, it's not worth it. If you're signing him for 2 years, then yeah, it's worth it because we still have our prospects in the minors. Within 2 years' time, you're going to have Wheeler, you're going to have Harvey. Harvey might be coming into the rotation this year. So I think, you know, having Dickey, if Shohei Santana, and I've said this before, Santana doesn't make it through the year. Dickey's your ace, and he's your go-to guy for anything and everything. So I think the Mets will be a solid team with Dickey. Everybody keeps saying, oh, well, he's older. He had a fluke year. He had one great year. You don't know that. He's a knuckleballer. Tim Wakefield pitched until he was, what, 45, I believe, 44, 45 years old. Just because he's throwing a little harder, he hasn't hit 40 yet. So there's still plenty of fast up in his tank. So I think, yes, the Mets are better with Dickey.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, by one of the heroes in Mets fandom. As a matter of fact, you can find Tanya Mercado at her website, cityfieldofdreams.com. You should check it out. There's always a lot of good stuff right now. Chances are good she might not have a post in the next day or so. You know, there's a little issue, you know. But and who knows? Who knows? Maybe they'll get a doctor to see her anytime soon. We'll see.
I hope so.
but you know what, kiddo? I know exactly what happened. We had the same issue with my wife one time where it took 8 hours. 8 hours.
That's
overnight, and I had to keep the girls in the van, and my alarm kept going off. I was dying. Oh, my God. And That was very difficult. My children were babies, and my wife was in the emergency room, and my daughters were, and it was a school night. They were just dying. I couldn't, that was a rough night. So
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, it was a rough night. In additional Mets news, I don't know if you know, but infielder Brandon Hicks, the shortstop, has been acquired from the Oakland Athletics. Also, Tim Verdeck has re-signed with the Mets. He was 39, had surgery on his left shoulder and right knee in September, and is a question mark to contribute at all in 2013. He posted a 4.40 ERA, and he had a 34-18 strikeout-to-walk ratio over 30 and two-thirds innings. What are you expecting from him, Tanya?
I'm taking a fall. Because when it comes to the bullpen, you just don't know what you have. You know,
yeah.
It's either a hit or miss. Either you're going to in a straight goal, but you're gonna have hole. So I liked what I saw with Tim Verdeck, but anytime a player has surgery, it's always a question mark. You just have to hope for the best.
Yeah, it is, and even though surgeries are more commonplace today, there's always going to be that one or two out of every 10 that just are not going to be able to come back, and it's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you also caught the news from the Phillies. We're going to deviate from the Mets for just a moment. I don't know if you caught it, guys, but catcher Carlos Ruiz has been suspended for 25 games after testing positive for amfetaminas. I'm sorry, I apologize. That was in Spanish, folks. Amphetamines! It was announced Tuesday afternoon. Ruiz tested positive for Adderall. According to a league source cited by the Philadelphia Inquirer, Adderall is commonly used to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and is classified as a banned stimulant, not a steroid under the league's drug and treatment prevention policy. That is why the first suspension is for 25 games rather than the 50 given to those who test positive for PEDs. And we already have a quote. I am sincerely regretful for my mistake. There's the word again. My mistake. My mistake. In taking a prohibited stimulant. Ruiz said in a statement issued by the Major League Baseball Players Association, I apologize to my teammates, the Phillies organization, and the Philadelphia fans. I will serve the imposed 25-game suspension to begin the season. I look forward to returning to the field and working toward bringing a championship back to Philadelphia in 2013. I'm sorry. It's just that last line made me laugh. Go ahead, Tanya.
Well, the nicest things happen to the nicest people, now, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it does. Brian, yet another guy goes down. Tell me, what's your opinion?
What else? Steroid use?
Nah, this guy was taking an illegal stimulant. Might as well have been Xtend for all that matter, but it was Adderall.
Oh.
It's for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. For a catcher? Wow.
Yeah, I think they're wasting too much energy and effort on this. I think you test for drugs, you test for steroids, marijuana, cocaine, and stuff. But I think they're getting a little out of control. But I will say this, a lot of people are taking things that people don't really know about yet, and that's why they keep testing for this stuff. So I just don't see what all the fuss is, really.
At this point, I know the Big Dog and I have spent a lot of time talking about this on our program on Saturday morning, that as far, we have gone over the material ourselves, and there have been many moments on 60 Minutes and stuff that talk about how they're coming up with, remember Big Dog, we were talking about that, where they're coming up with all these drugs now, or all these steroids, that haven't even been discovered by the investigators yet. And once they discover them, then they go on to something else, right?
Oh, yeah, they're always a step ahead. I mean, if you're gonna want to do something that you shouldn't be doing, you're always going to be a step ahead of the people trying to catch you. I mean, right now it seems like Adderall is the go-to stimulant right now because, as I talked about yesterday on my show, Eric Wright of the Bucks, two of the starting quarterbacks of the Seahawks, and Jeremy Cunningham of the Patriots were all suspended yesterday, all for testing positive for Adderall.
Wow. Tanya, you know, I know you've talked about in the past. I know when Phil Nasons was on it, both he and I agreed almost word for word on it. But this is something that I mentioned, Tanya. He says it's a mistake, Reese does, but per Major League Baseball's policy, there is what they call a therapeutic use exemption, which would allow him to use a drug like Adderall or Ritalin, but it has to be approved by a Major League doctor. Why, Tanya, why do these blockheads continue to do this when all they have to do is report it to Major League Baseball and it can get cleared? Why are they doing this?
Because they're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't we just buy it for them and give it to them ourselves? Why don't we just give it to high school athletes? Why don't we give it to college athletes? Because it's not good for them. I don't care about therapeutic. You know what? There's other ways to get around to get things done. You know, if you're not feeling well, there's other things that you could take. Okay, this whole thing where people are talking about, oh, well, you know what? I took such and such thing because I had a muscle spasm, but it happened to be a PED or a steroid or what have you. You know what? You're full of crap. Right? You took it because you thought it would give you an edge. And you know what? You got caught and I'll pay the price. Now, if I had it my way, and everybody who's listening to the show knows, if I had it my way, people would just, they wouldn't even be fined. They would just get kicked out and be done with it.
Yeah, you know, the big dog and I talked about this, that when the players get their contracts, they're given little cards that they have in their wallets that has a 1-800 number that they can call. So if they're at their doctor, remember that big dog? We've talked about that?
Yeah.
Where they have this number that they can call. So if the doctor prescribes it to them, they can call baseball right now to see if it's on the banned list. If it's on the banned list, what they do is they report it to Major League Baseball. And the Major League Baseball says, okay, fine, we know it's illegal, you've done it. Come in and see our doctors. And if the doctors agree, then there's no problem after the fact. Otherwise, you are going to be suspended, period. And in this case, he's depriving his team of 25 games of his skill. And Tanya, this is what I've said for the longest time. If a player is found guilty of being suspended, what they should do is the team should not be able to replace that player.
I'm sorry, Roger. I was walking. I didn't completely catch that. What happened?
I'm sorry. Right now, if a player is suspended for 25, 50, or 100 games, they're suspended, but you can bring up another player to replace them, so you stay a 25-man roster. I have told everyone within earshot that if you make it that this guy is suspended – but you cannot replace that player and you have to play a player down, that would change it a great deal.
I've never actually thought about that, but that's actually a good thing, because I think at that point, then teams would have a much stricter policy. You know, and I think the Players Association, because this is what kills me about the Players Association, it's almost like they take this whole steroids and PED thing as a joke, because that last deal, was like, okay, well, you know what? You do this, you get a certain amount of suspensions. You do this, you get another certain amount of suspensions. I honestly like the way you say it, because you know what? You're not just penalizing the player, you're penalizing the entire team.
Yeah.
At that point, the team would have to do random drug testing. At that point, the team themselves would be like, you know what? Screw this, we're not dealing with it, you're cut, that's it, we don't owe you anything. And I think that's another thing, if you get kicked out, I don't think you should be paid any amount of money that a team owes you on your contract. If you have 3 years left and $100 million to go, then you know what, the minute you're caught, you forfeit your contract, and that's it.
Now that's even more extreme than I thought, Big Dog, but I like it. Brian, I know you mentioned the scene is getting out of hand, though, but now you've heard something. Let's go to what the big dog said, that some of the Patriots players were suspended. What's that going to mean for a football team or even a college team? If you lose those players for whatever the length of time their suspension is, what is going to happen to the team other than the obvious?
Exactly, and you have to start hitting these teams with, I think Tanya was close to it, you know, you start hitting them with games. For instance, it's like a baseball team. It's like Melky Cabrera, he's guilty of steroid usage. you know what you do? The team doesn't make the playoffs, period. If they suck, they suck. There's nothing you can do. But just say the Giants this year, that they would not have made the playoffs because they had an illegal player on that roster that was responsible for a lot of those wins, possibly. So that's how you get their attention. You start turning the fans and the team against these guys, they won't do it. I promise you that.
Wow. Hey, we're starting to get this is interesting right here. Big dog. First, you get what I've been saying forever. You can't replace the guy. You will have to play a man short or two or three or whatever. Now, Tanya says, okay, cool. Why don't you take their salary away? It becomes null and void. And now Brian says, ah, screw that. You can't make the playoffs. Big dog. What's up?
I agree. I mean, there needs to be something really severe done. And, of course, whoever the first team is going to be, I mean, that's going to be the example. And, you know, there is always has to be a scapegoat before changes are made. And right now, like everyone is saying, you know, it's just a joke right now. I mean, the guy gets suspended. You can replace him, you know, so on and so forth. And what you were bringing up earlier about, oh, you know, if he's going to take a banned substance, just tell the doctor, you know, as long as it's okay. Well, that's good, well and good. But the problem is 97% of those players that get caught taking something illegal is because they don't have a doctor giving it to them. They're doing it because it's illegal. That's the problem. There's only about 3% of the players, I think, across the board of all professional sports that actually have a prescription but didn't go to the NFL or to the Major League Baseball or whoever and say, hey, my doctor prescribed this. It's a banned substance. I want to let you guys know about it. There's only about 3% of the players that are doing that. Everyone else is doing it because they're taking illegal substances. Why? Because they want an advantage. And until, you know, you start doing something extremely severe, such as keeping them from the playoffs or taking away games, you know, maybe not take them away from the playoffs, but say, okay, like Melky. Okay, well, Melky was responsible if, let's say, when they work out the percentages, because, you know, there's guys out there that work every conceivable mathematical equation out, they're going to say, okay, Melky was responsible for, let's say, 30% of the wins because of his stats. Okay, you know what? Take 30% of those wins away, and that's where you end up in the standings.
Okay, big dog. Okay, that's interesting. I think we could talk about that some more. First off, I wouldn't agree to it that way, but I like where you're going. But I don't know what happened to Tanya. We did lose her right now, so it's very possible.
I just got a text from her. She's saying the doctor's going to see her now, so she.
She
got off. She'll try and get back if she can.
I'm glad. I was about to say that chances are a nurse went up to see her, or in this case, a doctor did. So that's good. That way we won't embarrass her on air. Big dog, tell me again the players that were suspended for the Patriots, because I want to bring Brian in on this one and see what that's going to do to the Patriots, because this is where I get a bit lost. I love football. I know the guys. But when it comes down to this, let me know who are the players.
The Patriots, it was the third-year defensive end, Jermaine Cunningham. I believe he's kind of a starter. The one that really matters is the Seahawks. The Seahawks starting quarterback, Richard Sherman, and the other quarterback who starts, Brandon Browner, are both facing four-game suspensions. So the starting corners for the Seahawks are, they're appealing it right now, but if the suspension holds, they will both be out four games. And, of course, the Seahawks are right now still competing for a playoff spot in the NFC. So they're the ones that it's going to hurt the most.
Yeah, that's devastating for Seattle because they're one of those teams that are right there on the cusp of, you know, possibly making the playoffs, getting in a wild card. So now for four games, you're without two of your shutdown corners. So, again, that is penalizing these guys, but I think we take it a step further, guys. If you want to deter, you know, breaking the rules with this use, you have to make the crimes very tough or the punishment tough. So, I just don't think four games is enough, honestly.
Wow. I hasten to think how we would be as commissioners. I think we would all be tough SOBs, quite frankly. None of that stuff would be going on in our leagues, I'll tell you that much. But, wow, there have been some good ideas that have come out of this. That's crazy. But sticking on the football stuff, because I know I have some other baseball stuff that that I want to get to. Several bits of news. The Hall of Fame ballots are going to be coming out very soon. And there's some other stuff in baseball, which is close to my heart. But we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm sorry?
I said, yeah, your man Pettit re-signed with the Yanks.
No, not even close. Not even close, big dog. It has to do with Marvin Miller, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Brian, football, dude. You mentioned the, you know, the Seahawks right there. Who would have thunked it, pal, seriously, that they're actually on the cusp of a playoff spot? I think that's a genuine surprise. I know they went out to get their quarterback. I thought they overpaid. But funny, everyone probably was wrong on that one, huh, Brian?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Seattle's done a great job. You know, Pete Carroll coming from Southern Cal. You know, these guys are 5-0 at home. The only problem is they're 1-5 on the road. So a team like Seattle, they make the playoffs, but they won't make it far because that first game will be on the road probably and they'll get beat. But you have to be able to win on the road, and that's one thing Seattle can't figure out.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, as Brian says, looking at the numbers, you know, I always look for Seattle in the AFC West, but no, they had to move them out, the blockhead, but that's okay. Seattle is 6-5, as mentioned, and they're 1-5 on the road and 5-0, and they're 0-3 in the division. Wow, San Francisco is 8-2-1, and they're 4-1-1 on home and 4-1 on the road. That's what it takes to win, right, Brian? With those, you know, in baseball, it's win 2 out of 3 at home and play 500 on the road, right?
Yep. And you know, that's a sign of a great football team. If you want to really see the contenders in football, guys, you have to look at their road record. I mean, your home's given. You have to win at home. But you look at teams that are successful this year in football, you know, the Giants are 3-2 on the road, the Bears 3-2, Atlanta 5-1, Tampa Bay 3-2, San Fran 4-1, and you look at New England, even they have a winning record on the road. The Ravens 4-2. Houston, 5-0 on the road, 5-1 at home. So look at the best teams, Denver Broncos, 4-2 on the road. They win on the road. It doesn't matter. They understand how important those games are, and that's why they're the best teams in football.
Yeah, you know, big dog, all the numbers he mentioned were right on, dude. It was right on. And it's rare to have a team that is that successful and they don't play well in their division. All of these guys, except the New York Giants, are really doing well in their division.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You know, you have to be able to win in your division. I mean, that's another big one, too. But definitely what Brian was saying, you know, you have to win on the road, especially in football and especially in basketball. You can kind of, like you said, 500 in baseball, you can get away with that. But definitely in football and basketball, you definitely have to win on the road. You have to have a winning record.
And guys, if I may add to that, what is really amazing is you might have two teams in the AFC that have losing records in their division that may make the playoffs. I am talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 6-0. That's a long shot, but they're 1-2 in their division. And then you have the Indianapolis Colts. They're 2-1. I apologize. I was looking at it wrong. Sorry. Ignore it. Hey, Oakland Raiders are 1-2 in their division, 3-8 overall. Wow.
Yeah, but, the thing that surprises me is that the Texans, you know, they're a dome team. They play indoors, yet they're 5-0 on the road. That's what surprises me this year. I have Houston picked to win the Super Bowl this year to play in it, and that's exactly why these guys know how to play football on the road. It doesn't matter. And even at home, they're almost unbeatable. So if you want to beat Houston this year, you better play your A game, because I really don't see these guys losing when it comes to playoff time.
You know, looking at those two records right now, Brian, and what I mean by two is looking at the Texans, they're 10-1, and almost in the exact opposite the other conference, you have the Atlanta Falcons, another team that is just shocking everyone. Well, no, not shocking everyone. Sure enough, are making me look bad. Bad. They
and
are
sunny.
10-1. Oh, yeah, and sunny. Yeah, that's right. I'll admit it. I don't know if Sonny will. but the Falcons are 10-1, 5-0 at home, and 5-1 on the road. And these guys, look at these numbers, guys. Their net points, 78 points, they are above in scoring. Now, the 49ers are 121, the Bears are 102, the Giants are 79, the Broncos are 97, the Texans are 116, Baltimore is 64. Yeah, thanks. And then
look at New England.
163, baby! Wow!
Yep.
That is unbelievable. But Houston and Atlanta, honestly, look like the teams that are going to face off in the Super Bowl this early in the season. I don't want to say anything more than that, but I want to throw it back out. Brian, do you think that's who the Texans are going to face? Or is it going to be someone else out of the Falcons conference?
Honestly, I think it's going to be the Giants. And the reason I say that is these guys, you saw Sunday night how they play. When it gets late in the season, they turn it up to another level. And with that defensive line and with Eli Manning at quarterback and those good receivers, Tom Coughlin's been there before. It's just hard to pick against the Giants in the NFC. I've done it for so many years, and it's backfired. So I won't believe the Falcons make the Super Bowl until they make the Super Bowl.
I appreciate that. Big Dog, with that win by the Giants against, who was that? The Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
It was against Green Bay, right?
Yes, it was. Again.
Again. I remember someone throwing it in my face that the reason why the Packers had such a lousy defense was because they score so many points, and then the other teams, you know, have to pass, have to do this to get back in the games, and that's why their defense is so porous. And someone said, well, the Giants really just got lucky. I said, no, the Giants were the team that could play with them. I didn't say their defense was spectacular, but it was enough to win. And they took the Packers apart. And lo and behold, gee, what was the final score? A lot. It was a lot. And I was so happy when the Giants beat up on the Packers. Right, Big Dog?
Yeah, you know, you've got to give it to the Giants. I mean, the Giants are notoriously slow starters. And towards the end of the season, they just build momentum. And once the playoffs start, I mean, these last 3-4 years, I mean, they've just been incredible in the playoffs. I mean, you get them in there, I mean, you don't want to bet against Manning and those guys. I mean, they are possibly turning Eli, you know, you kind of wonder now, is Eli the better Manning, you know, of the two? You know, he does have two rings versus Peyton's one, but it's going to be interesting to see. You know, of course, everybody's dream matchup right now, you know, as far as certain people, I mean, the Mannings, they, of course, they would love to have Denver versus New York. I don't see that ever, you know, I don't see that happening, but I think it's going to be Atlanta versus the Giants, though. I mean, in the playoffs, that's going to be a good one. But I got a text from Tanya, so if we go back to baseball, she wanted to talk about the Mets. But, finish up the football.
Yeah.
We have 7 minutes.
Well, we're just all over the place, dude. That's what we're doing. This is Roger the scorekeeper Noriega. This is what I do. We're all over the place. You see, even Brian says, I know. I already had to deal with it on Sunday night. Hey, Brian, get your slot in there, dude. Give us your website. Give us your radio. Let us know when it's on. You didn't send me a message, pal.
Our show is on Wednesday and Sunday nights, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, T-A-R-V-I-N-O. We'd love to have you on. We have a big audience in the chat room. They love college football, NFL football, anything football related they love. So join us. It can get a little crazy, scorekeeper, in the chat room, as you well know.
It can get crazy, but they are absolutely a fun bunch. They love what they love, and there's just no doubt about it. So, Big Dog, let Tanya know that we do have some baseball to go over right now. But while I still have Tarvino right now, and before she comes back with us, I guess she's listening to us on her phone. You know, Tanya, call back in, kiddo. We'd love to have you on here. That's why we're here. We want to hear you, Tanya. Did I sound needy right there? I did, didn't I?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
More than usual? More than usual, or?
Mm-hmm. Those are Doritos. Doritos, ladies and gentlemen. You want to score with this guy? You want to make him happy? Doritos Cool Ranch, baby.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Doritos Cool Ranch. Big Dog brought it up. Peyton versus the other guy.
Yeah, Peyton versus Eli.
Yeah, Peyton versus Eli. Brian, is there any argument as to who is better, or is that it's still far from decided?
Oh, there's no question that Peyton Manning is the big brother. He's just a lot. He's head and shoulders above Eli. Eli's a good quarterback, but look at the defenses and teams he's played on. Peyton Manning did it with the Colts, for God's sake. I mean, they had nothing but him around. So Peyton Manning by far, it's not even close.
Big Dog?
I agree. I mean, I was going to say the same thing. Look at what he had with the Colts, and look what happened when he got taken away from the Colts, how horrible they did last year. You know, and for it being a team sport, you know, last year showed what one incredible quarterback can do. And, you know, Eli, you know, yes, Eli's won twice, but, you know, it's luck of the draw and it's momentum and everything else. And I agree, though, that Peyton is the better Manning, and I think he's going to stay that way.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to you live from the United States of America, where the only bit of measurement is scoreboard, as many people will tell you. When you go to a game and you talk smack, the team always says, scoreboard, baby. And I have to tell you, it's the exact same thing, ladies and gentlemen. I hate getting into these arguments, but this is one that I'm going to pick up. And I'm going to invite Brian, I'm going to invite the Big Dog, 1 year from today, to have the same discussion. But for right now, I'm going against all of you, and I'm saying scoreboard, baby. Scoreboard. The young man has two rings, and Peyton only has one. It's all about winning, and Peyton has two.
No, it's all about that. No, that's not right, man. No.
Go ahead, Brian. I'm getting the drift that there's more you wish to tell me. Go ahead.
No, I mean, you just can't judge the quarterback by how good his overall team is. And Eli, my God, I could have been quarterback for the Giants, won at least one ring. So him winning a ring with the Colts is saying a lot. I mean, he made the AFC Championship game several times with that team and just couldn't get past Tom Brady and that loaded New England Patriots team. But really, what has Eli Manning done? What has he done better
Brady
than Peyton
twice?
Yeah, but the team did, though. I'm talking about the defense won those Super Bowls, not Eli Manning.
Okay, fair enough. Go ahead. It's funny how you said he couldn't get past Brady. I'm like, oh, well, but Eli did. But that's cool. Big Dog, take a shot.
Yeah, it's okay. Because I don't want to sound hypocritical. because of my passion for basketball, you know, that LeBron is supposed to be the best in the business. And I say, well, yeah, how many rings does he want? He's only won one, you know, so I can't go against that right now.
Yeah, that is funny. That's fair. But I think this is a good argument. I think this is something that we're going to carry on, ladies and gentlemen, because it is cool. They are brothers. One has two rings, but one of them has how many MVP trophies? Guys, how many does Peyton have?
I think 50, right?
I thought it was more like four or something like that.
Four, I thought it was three. It could be four.
Okay, well, three. Well, how many does Eli have?
What? One?
Oh, he does have
zero.
One?
I'm trying to think. I thought he – no. No, I don't think he has one, really. I don't think he has.
Yeah, I don't believe he has one either. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, three MVPs, guys. That's huge. There's only one MVP. That is big. And it's just, well, there's only one MVP in the AFC, and there's only one MVP in the NFC, right, guys?
I think it's just overall MVP.
Yeah, Yeah, it's just an MVP, period. It's just like in basketball, it's just one MVP.
Yeah, okay, whatever. I was just thinking of baseball. Sorry. I always think of two leagues which will be disappearing this year, but that's neither here nor there. Actually, I mean next year. Can't say this year because we're still in 2012. But did Tanya say she was going to call us back?
No, she's been in contact with me via text. But just right now, if she goes, she said that we go back to baseball, that she said Mike Pelfrey was among three players non-tendered, and that Mets fans should be happy about that.
Oh, yeah, I would have to agree with that one. No doubt about it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to her website, City Field of Dreams, she has an interesting article up there about, well, not the Say Hey Kid, because I can't, or is it the Say, no, it's not the Say Hey Kid. It's the catcher Gary Carter, as you all know, he passed away in February, and she posted an excellent post right there at cityfieldofdreams.com. Good stuff. If she is listening to us, we're going to go to baseball in the last few minutes that we have. We still have about 10 minutes, but we're going to make it 9 minutes because I have to head on over to my program, which is on NDB Media, and I'm going to go over there for about an hour, but that's why I'll be finishing up just a little bit early. But in other baseball news, ladies and gentlemen, you know the Hall of Fame thingy is coming out very soon. And they're going to
be... Rod, do you actually mean the Hall of Shame for this year's ballot?
Wow. Yeah, that thing, the Hall of Shame, dude. Wow. You know who's going to be on there, guys? Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens,
get his name right.
Sosa.
Put Barry in the Hall of Fame, guys. Let's go.
Brian hadn't been, I don't know if Brian knew at the time when we gave Barry his new name.
Well, hold on. Before you say we give you
okay,
all the
me.
Credit.
No. I'll admit it. It was I made up the name. Of course, his name from because of his bodily change and from what his girlfriend and ex-wife talked about, his, of course, name for the longest time was no longer Barry Bonds, but Big Head Little Balls.
Yes. Yeah, because the ex-wife did say in the divorce proceedings and in the hearings, right, that he shrank.
That they shrank considerably, as testified by his girlfriend also.
Yeah. That's a bummer, where everyone that you know in that manner says, yeah, he's on it, he shrank. So that is a bummer. But here we go. Brian says Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Now I have to ask you point blank, why?
Well, I think Barry Bonds, even before steroids, was probably going to be a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. You know, I'm 36, so I've seen a lot of baseball, but Barry Bonds was a great hitter. Now he could hit for power. He had a good glove before he got swollen up on steroids, so I just think he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, with or without the steroids, he was a Hall of Fame player.
Big dog.
But you don't think that his taking steroids – I know he was never – convicted of it, and that's the whole problem, because it seems like, I mean, everybody knows, I mean, that he took it. I mean, you could see the bodily changes. I mean, you could see how big his body and his head and everything else got. I mean, all jokes aside and everything, you see the difference in it. But you don't think that's tarnished his career and legacy? Because you can see an absolute point where he started taking it. I mean, yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Beforehand, I probably agree with you there. He could have been a Hall of Famer, but with all the things that happened afterwards and the steroids, you know, that he, I guess, possibly took, you don't think that tarnished his legacy at all?
I do. But I'm talking about me personally. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He made a mistake. But what was it ever proven Barry Bonds took steroids, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was never proven. I mean, he was always. I mean, he was able.
Ladies and gentlemen,
lawyers, and he paid some good money. He paid lots of money to those lawyers to so that a lot of things didn't get put in, and he was able to maneuver around and never answered any questions. But I mean,
ladies and gentlemen, let us remember, Barry Bonds is a criminal for one thing and one thing only, for lying to a grand jury. That was
yep.
it. And I don't believe it was even lying. It wasn't tampering. It was withholding something, right? I forget what they call that. But he wasn't forthcoming to the grand jury. And
Buddy tarnished it, guys, Roger. He's right. It tarnished his legacy, his name, because you can see, you know, a 180-pound guy turn into the Hulk overnight with a big head and hitting balls in the bay. He's right. It, in people's eyes, it did tarnish it.
But I think it comes down to one thing, ladies and gentlemen. For those, and this goes back to Pete Rose. Did Pete Rose gamble or not? The guy that knows if he did is dead. And the only guy that we have left wants into the Hall of Fame. So what's it going to be? He is serving a lifetime suspension. And if you ask people where Pete Rose has played, they will tell you he never did it. And you ask everyone else, he did it. We'll never really know unless we read those documents.
And my whole contention on that is Pete Rose, the manager, is the one that did the betting and so on and so forth. But Pete Rose, the player, is the one that should get in, because that's what he's going to. He's not going to get into the Hall of Fame as a manager. He's going to get in as a player for what he did as a player. He never bet as a player. And I think you should differentiate the two, Pete Rose the manager, Pete Rose the player. Unfortunately, that's not how it's done. But I believe, my personal belief, is that, and I never liked the guy, period, ever. But, you know, based on all his stats and what he's done, he should be in the Hall of Fame as Pete Rose the player. But,
sorry. I really did yawn. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I really. Usually I
you're boring him. You're boring him, big dog. You're boring him.
I guess.
Oh, coffee's in the chat room. For some reason, my chat room just updated. I was really surprised. And here we go. Coffee agrees with you, big dog. What a shock. And
so
Coffee says Wright should get 5 years and $75 million. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone is going to believe what they're going to believe. And I think it comes down to what Brian was alluding to. If he had a vote, Barry Bonds would go in. Big Dog, if you had a vote, would Barry Bonds go in? And we'll continue this on Saturday because the Hall of Fame stuff is coming up. Should Barry Bonds go in?
No.
I say no. Coffee, I know you're in the chat room.
What do you – he says Barry Bonds deserves 100% of the vote. Can't figure he would say that.
Brian, I know you can't see it, but you know what he said. He agreed with you.
All right, great. Good job, Coffee. We love you, man. We love you.
He is the best player in the history of baseball.
And then he goes on to say he's the best player ever in the history of baseball.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I have to go on air and admit, I know my buddy from the north hasn't been feeling exactly very well. And I hope he's feeling well. And I think it's clouding his judgment. It's just clouding him, but he's a good guy. I love his opinion. But best player of all time, yeah, right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to call it early. We have 90 seconds left. I have to go because I have to head on over to my other program, an NDB Meet. If you guys want to join us, we're going to be doing a special on James Bond tonight, 50 years of Bond. Head on over. I want to thank Brian, who – I'm not going to repeat that on air. Brian, I want to thank you for coming in at the Big Dog, same thing, pal. I'm heading over to NDB Media. Any last words, guys?
No. Tanya, get well. We'll be praying for you.
Yeah, we will, Tanya. Hope you're doing much better. And we'll be looking out for you. All right, kiddo. Big Dog?
Yep. Tanya, we're all praying for you, hoping you get better, and we'll hear you hopefully on Friday.
All right, guys, we're out of here. Heading on over to NDB Media. Head on over to cityfieldofdreams.com, twitter.com/NDB Media, and NDBmedia.net. See you guys on the other side. Peace!